views from 7:45 to 8:45, then language from 9:45 to 9:45. Thereafter, Rhonda can take care of some film selection if it is possible. I will give you the news for the top news of the events of these hours. In California, the reversal of reversals, a right-winger has become the Attorney General based on the promise of new genocide laws. He defeated a black woman, as you know, who was going to be contender for that office, and Lieutenant Governor Donnelly lost his office to also another right-winger. So, things are as usual, going downstream. America's empty. We'll hear more about that from some of our people who've been there in a probably rally that'll be occurring later on in the week. We will be having guests probably on Friday. They seem to be much nicer now. A number of people have been thrown out of the country. A number have been arrested. And the congressman is quite apologetic for all of this ado. He probably didn't expect to happen what is happening, that we are going to receive him, and he's trying to get an understanding, and he's willing to even talk on the radio. Or perhaps they are aware of our determination. Whatever, the government of Guyana has taken a very decisive stand, and they picked up the Chronicle reporter, put him in the little room about 90 degrees temperature, claims he, and the body searched him and kept him there all night, and have thrown him out on this evening. Out goes with the examiner, and out goes with what other members of the press they have to get out tonight. And the council, the city, has not welcomed him. He's been not given any particular reception at the embassy. The embassy, U.S. Embassy, is uncomfortable with him, as they can understand. They only want to give him assurance of a plane for Thursday, but we're holding that it's too early to come before Friday, because we want our attorney with us, who will be here, Mark Lane, and he will accept our terms on that basis. The relatives are somewhat amazed and awed that he got in. Relatives are staying in town. They don't seem to be pressing particularly to get out here. Probably good they got enough sense not to do better to change that. The United Nations Security Council has called on South Africa to cancel the elections it plans to hold in Namibia next month, or it will face economic sanctions on other matters. The Security Council approved by economic 10-0 vote on resolution, which says the elections and their results will be rejected as null and void by the United Nations and its member states. The United States, Britain, Canada, France, and West Germany, the five Western members of the Council, abstained from voting, as was expected, always supporting Union of South Africa's imperialism. Oil workers in Iran have cost the government over $800 million in lost revenue this month. They are demanding a civilian government, an end to martial law, the release of political prisoners. 21 persons were killed today in disturbances over the weekend. There were others who went down during the ongoing anti-government protests with the Shah. The people are determined to be free in Iran. Carter meets with Moroccan President Hassan tomorrow. The topics of the meeting are expected to be the Middle East peace talks. The Moroccan ruler has played a major role around conservative leaders in this region of Africa. He is believed to be seeking U.S. support in his position in the Spanish Sahara conflict, where Algerian rebels and Polisario forces are fighting Mauritanian and Moroccan forces. Somali, near Ethiopia, you know, at the Horn of Africa, President met with visiting Chinese military delegation in Mogadishu, Somalia, headed by the chief of staff of the Chinese army. The delegation arrived 1 week ago. Somalia, which last year broke ties with the Soviet Union, has been seeking military aid from Western countries. In a town in Israel, a man confronted an elderly tourist and dropped his trousers. The startled lady dropped her handbag. The mugger picked up the handbag in his pants and was gone in a flash. And that was just a drop of the lighter size news in a small town in Israel. Two former SS officers have gone on trial in Cologne, West Germany, on charges of complicity in the murders of 500 prisoners in a Warsaw jail during World War II. The prosecutor told the court that the two ordered the prisoners to be shot without trial following the Warsaw Ghetto uprising. Renewed efforts to try to appear to be cleaning the house in West Germany from the remnants of Hitlerism. Nicaragua, after 44 years in power, President Somoza is coming under attack from all sides. In August, the Sandinista movement held the country's parliament hostage for several days in protest of Somoza's hold on Nicaragua. This was followed by nationwide strikes supporting the opposition. In return, the army carried out a campaign tantamount to a civil war which left 3,000 dead and five major cities devastated. Now, both USA and the IMF have cut off aid because of the pressure they have received by nations all over the world to withdraw their support of the Somoza regime. So the Somoza put in by the U.S. Marines is now on his own, and IMF is out, U.S. aid is out, U.S. corporate power is out, because it's just getting too ridiculous for the United States to stay in the situation. Agostinho Neto of Angola is meeting in Lusaka, Zambia, with President Kwanda and Mobutu Zaire. The three leaders will discuss mutual problems, including the Benguerian Railway. The railway transports Zambia's and Zaire's copper exports to the Angola seaport. The line was officially reopened this month, but anti-government forces in Angola, UNITA, have continued to attack it. Amazing kind of incongruities here, that government so right as Zaire and Angola, the Marxist-Leninists, could be in some kind of peace, but UNITA is being attempting to break the railway and break the peace. In Italy, a group calling itself the Communist Attack Squad is claiming responsibility for the shooting of the retired director of Milan's largest prison. The former official was shot in the legs as he left his home this morning. Sounds like the trippings of the Red Brigade. President Kwanda of Zambia has assured white farmers in his country they are needed to help to create a multiracial society. He warned them not to take the law into their own hands in his first public statement on the recent anti-white violence. President Kwanda said the whites must wait for the government to respond to their complaints. He urged Zambians not to attack whites suspected of being Rhodesian spies, but to hand them over to the police. White farmers have withdrawn their earlier threat to stop producing food. They now say they are willing to work wholeheartedly, not only with the Zambian government, but with the Zimbabwean activist government, the Patriotic Front based in Zambia under Joshua Nkomo's leadership, to restore security in the country. It was whites that established this infamy, but now black reaction is trying to be provoked by CIA and other elements, and it has not succeeded, as Zambia's white farmers are determined to say. President Carter has approved a new civil defense program for the United States, which will concentrate on evacuating people from cities in the event of nuclear war, rather than putting them in underground shelters. Well, that's interesting. The policy would work out in a response to increase in the Soviet civil defense plan. If Congress approves the plan, it will double civil defense spending. Where they will do, how much time they'll have to get out of the city, of course, is another question, being that you have about 8 minutes warning now these days. Iran, 30 more people killed, 19 injured, following clash between police and demonstrators in the western city of Sankor. Meanwhile, Carter has again voiced his support for the Iranian government. He said in a television interview with the Shah, we'll be able to form a coalition government and open democratic elections within 6 months. The president of Cyprus has commuted to life imprisonment the death sentences of two Palestinians convicted of murdering a prominent Egyptian last February. He said he was taking into consideration the current political situation and the wider interest of Cyprus in making the decision. The two men who have been due to hang tomorrow were convicted of killing a close friend of President Sadat of Egypt, who was the chairman of the Egyptian newspaper. Attempts at outside mediation in Nicaragua's political conflict are being suspended. Reports from the capital, Managua said envoys from the U.S., Guatemala, and Dominican Republic were returning home after having failed to reach a settlement. Opposition leaders have called for President Somoza to resign by next week, warning that otherwise he could face renewed unrest, because U.S. cannot now openly give aid. Even their own alliance is not willing to go along with it. And IMF has withdrawn its support and assistance because of the corruption. There are new currents of change in the economic arena of IMF, it seems. The government opposition group in Angola, UNITA, is openly claiming responsibility for several explosions last week in major cities in Angola. The Angolan government said last week that at least 40 people had died after two bomb explosions, killing primarily white Union of South Africans. The British Prime Minister Callaghan, who yesterday spoke out about the high level of Britain contributions to the EEC, has rejected suggestions in Parliament that he should threaten to leave the EEC altogether. Mr. Callaghan has been urging radical reform in the EEC's budget and foreign policy. Today he restated his criticism that Britain is paying too much into the community. There has been a series of bomb explosions in Northern Ireland. At least 8 bombs went off during the day in 7 cities. Advance warning were given, but over 30 people were injured. In Londonderry, there were 5 explosions. The army disarmed several other bombs. The President of Portugal has attended a banquet in his honor at Buckingham Palace. In her speech, the Queen said that Britain now looks forward to working with Portugal in the European community as a full partner in the joint endeavor to build a more stable, prosperous, and democratic Europe. The news continues. Attacks on the invisible empire, Mormon money in California, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It has amassed what is considered to be the largest wealth in the United States in California. For 11 years, ever since physicians removed his pituitary gland, the 71-year-old former electronics assembler has collected welfare. The deep scar on his right temple is a constant reminder of his doctor's admonition that he'd never work again. But he does work as much as 6 hours a day, although he never receives a paycheck, and the government has no record of his being on the welfare rolls. Mr. Hillman, he doesn't give out his first name to strangers, is one of 20,000 Californians who are recipients of a welfare program the government has nothing to do with. Every day, Mr. Hillman sits filling out numbers in a book in an office in a huge warehouse located in Sylmar in the rural end of San Fernando Valley. Their storage rooms are stocked with goods from blankets and clothes to meat, canned fruit, vegetables, and flour. Some of this is packed in cardboard boxes waiting to be shipped out to others on the welfare program. There are no prices on any of the items, and most are priced with a brand name never seen on a supermarket shelf. Dessert. It is Mr. Hillman's job to note down dutifully how long each volunteer spends on what task and when. As far as I'm concerned, he observes, I am not on welfare. I work for what I get. Mr. Hillman paid in the commodity stored at Sylmar is on the receiving end of an intricate nationwide system, independent, self-sustaining, and for all its worldliness, operated according to religious principles, those of the Church of Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. The warehouse in Sylmar is one of 90 such distribution centers across the country, 7 in California alone. But the centers are only small specks in the vast multi-billion dollar empire controlled by the Mormon Church. The Mormons are among the fastest growing religious sects in the world. Ask any Mormons about his or her beliefs, and he'll gladly talk your ear off. Follow up with a question about the church's business holdings, and there'll be an uncomfortable silence. It's not that they don't want to tell you, they just don't know, and they don't care. The truth about Mormon holdings is hard to come by. The church has investments all over the world, except in a variety of privately held corporate entities. Very private. There's a holding company, a couple of trust companies, hotels, apartments, buildings, industrial parks, securities companies, development company, real estate section, insurance companies, radio, TV stations, newspapers, books, farms, lands, and more land. The American Zion hasn't a coin for its realm, nor the military prerequisites and territorial sovereignty enjoyed by the State of Israel, nor the Pope in Rome. Such trappings are needed. The Mormon Church wields more economic power more effectively than any other organized religion in the world. The church-run welfare system that supports Mormon needy like Mr. Hillman is only one facet of a complex American phenomenon, an institution that is as much a corporate conglomerate as is one of the nation's healthiest religions. The church discourages public welfare and therefore operates an internal support agency for its own worthy poor, all of whom, including Mr. Hillman, are certified by their local bishops as actual church members who are legitimately in need. It is all a part of a huge worldwide system concentrated in the West. According to the church, 110,306 Mormons were assisted by the welfare program in 1976. The church also donated commodities and labor during the flood disaster in Idaho, one of the few times church reserves have been used to aid non-Mormons. And such is the news about the day, religious fairs, and so forth. It's to our sadness that Merv Dimely went down. It's to our sadness that we have a right-wing move in California. We will now go on with the program in the pavilion. All are expected to be in attendance, as I shall see you shortly. Be not fear, things are not near. We are looking very good at this particular time of the day, and good position on all issues. Good support, good solid support. The government has been very thoughtful, and they call the arrival of Mr. Bryan on Radio Demerara a right-wing reactionary. A lot of good support by the police, a lot of good support by the trade unions, been spoken down firmly that in committed in form, not just in some gadfly moment. Much love to you, If I have any other message, I will come back. I'll see you in the next few minutes, perhaps. Much love.
Okay.